Wow, he's risen. Come on. That's something worth shouting about, isn't it? Everything changed this day nearly 2,000 years ago. The whole world looks completely different this side of the cross. And I, for one, am just so grateful. But have you ever wondered why Jesus had to die? You get asked that all the time, don't you? Because it's a terrible thing. The cross is such a cruel way to die. Why would God ask that to happen? This God who loves us. And, you know, we get asked that a lot by people that don't go to church, that would never come here on a Sunday. I hope to demonstrate with the aid of this balloon. Anybody want to blow this up for me? Anybody got some puff? No volunteers? I don't know. Okay, well, we'll have a look at that in a minute. Hopefully. Fingers crossed, toes crossed. But I want to take us back a little bit, about 600 years before Jesus. The most powerful man in the world at that time was a guy called Nebuchadnezzar, and he had a dream which terrified him, kept him awake. In this dream, he saw this huge statue with a gold head, silver torso, bronze thighs, and iron legs mixed with clay at the feet. And as he watched, he saw a stone uncut by human hands. I don't know how he knew that in the dream, but you can know things in dreams, can't you, without someone telling you. This stone was uncut by human hands, not of this world in a way, and it was flung at the statue. And the statue was shattered into a million little pieces, and the wind blew all the little pieces away. This dream might not disturb us, but disturbed Nebuchadnezzar. And so he wanted to know what it meant. Now, he just ransacked the whole of Judah and taken the people of Israel into captivity. And one of them was a young man called Daniel, who worked for him, who he'd made a eunuch. Very sad. But Daniel interpreted the dream for him. And you can read about this in the book of Daniel, chapter 2. Daniel interprets this dream. And it says, this statue that you saw represents world history at the moment. It represents four kingdoms. The gold head represents your kingdom, Nebuchadnezzar, the Babylonian kingdom. The silver chest represents the one that comes after you. For those history scholars amongst us, know that the Medes and Persians. The bronze thighs are in yet another kingdom that would arise and take the place of that one. And of course, that was the Greek Empire. And it says, and yet a fourth kingdom would arise after these, a strong kingdom, iron kingdom. That would be the Roman Empire. And it was in this time that this stone uncut by human hands would be flung at the statue, at the kingdoms of this world, and see them shattered. And that stone, by the way, in his dream, grew and grew and grew and grew until it filled the whole earth. So Jews at the time of Jesus were expecting something amazing to happen. They were expecting God's kingdom to come. They were expecting, because this is what that stone represented, God's kingdom coming and filling the whole world, doing away with man's kingdoms of power and of oppression. And of course, Jesus is born into this time. And he has a message, repent for the kingdom of heaven is nigh, is at hand. That's a religious phrase, isn't it? But what it means is think again. God's kingdom is coming. It's right at, it's close by. You can grab hold of it. You can lay hold of it. It's that close. You can enter into it now. So at Easter, we celebrate God's kingdom coming. That was the day the revolution started. Of course, Jesus lived and demonstrated how we can all live as children of God. He said, the kingdom is coming, and if you want to enter into it, love your enemies. If you want to enter into it, give stuff away to the poor. Look after the poor. If you want to enter into it, heal the sick. And he went around and demonstrated those things. But the kingdom really came when he died on the cross, when he hung on the cross those 2,000 years ago, when he allowed himself to be crucified. So let me ask you a question quickly. Jesus' message was so wonderful. But what would stop us from entering into it? What would stop us from believing it, from trusting him? What would stop you from loving your enemies? A lack of love, maybe, yes? Fear. Who said that? Kathy, fear. Fear of what? They might hurt you. Yeah, absolutely. What would stop you giving away your things to the poor? Selfishness might, yep. Fear. Fear of what, John? Was it you who said fear? Simon, fear. Fear of lack, yeah. Fear of lack. Sorry, you threw your voice over that side of the room. Fear of lack. Yeah, it's fear. What would stop you healing the sick? Fear. Fear of looking stupid, fear of being laughed at, fear, you know, following Jesus. Maybe fear would stop us from doing that too. You see, Jesus went to the cross, and primarily, one of the main reasons was to deliver us from fear. To show us, actually, that we could live the way that God wants us to, despite whatever the world might do to you. The world's unlikely to treat you as it treated Jesus, but even if it did, even if you'd done no wrong and your friends deserted you and your enemies whipped you and they cursed you and they hung you up on a tree and put nails in you and they flayed your back open, even if they're doing that, you can still love, you can still bless, you can still do good to your enemies, you can still live the way that God wants you to, because death is not the end. That was the day the revolution started, and the kingdom of God has been growing and growing and growing since. Hold on. So I'm going to demonstrate that now.
It's like the kingdom of God, and it keeps on growing. You're growing the more air you put into it. It's unlike the kingdom of God because it's not very big. The kingdom of God's going to fill the whole earth. Okay? That's what it's going to do. It's also unlike the kingdom of God in that it's not air that fills the kingdom of God. It's us. We have to climb in. Ah! Yeah. Not just our heads, not just our minds. This is not about a mind thing. If it stops at our minds, we just look stupid. Right? We've got to get in. We've got to really get in. So, really.
Oh no! Oh no!
Oh, I'm a bit stuck. It's okay, I'll get in. We've got to really get in. I'm nearly in. The kingdom of God grows as we get into it, guys. And see, the thing is, Jesus died so that we could enter into life completely, wholeheartedly, whole-mindedly, whole-bodily. He gave himself to set us free from the fears that would hold us back from living well in this world. So I challenge every one of us, if we follow Jesus for just a few days or a few years or decades, or if we've never started to follow him yet, give our lives to him. Set yourself free from fear. Follow his example and live the most fruitful and most glorious life you could ever do. Honestly, I was scared before getting into this balloon the first time. I had someone stand by with a knife. Because it's stupid to climb into balloons, kids. Really stupid, isn't it? But I was also scared before I gave my life to Christ. But the truth is, I did that at the age of 24, and it was the best decision I ever made. It totally set me free to live life in a way that I knew I wanted to live it. So thank you for listening. Bless you. Happy.
Oh. Yeah. Well, I don't know what to say now. Follow that. Colin, how would you like us to respond to that? Because I think there is a response that we need to call out.
Honestly, I want us to respond by actually by thinking about what Jesus did and why he did it. He wants us all, he needs us all to give ourselves to this revolution. What I would like is for people to rededicate themselves to living in the freedom that he won for us, to living free from fear. Fear of hurt, others doing to you what they shouldn't do. Fear of lack, not having enough when your father is watching over you. Fear of looking stupid because you stand up for something that looks ridiculous at one level. But to throw yourselves, ourselves, I'm including myself in this, to throw myself wholeheartedly into following him, to living free and inviting others into his ever-increasing kingdom. So if you'd like to join us in that, let's stand and let's pray. Father, you're an incredible God. Thank you that you didn't leave us wallowing in our violent, selfish, greedy world. But you came in to demonstrate a completely different way of living. To set us free. Free from every fear that the enemy would try and bind us up with. Hold us back from living the abundant life that you promised. And today, Lord Jesus, as we think about what you did for us, as we think about what you went through and still live that loving, generous life, we commit to following you, to living free from fear, to loving everyone we meet, to being generous on every occasion, to actually being prepared to stand up for you and look stupid in the eyes of the world, because we know that your kingdom is coming and we long for the day when it fills the whole earth. And let us see it increase in our day. In Jesus' name, amen.